Thank you. We come now to the ministry of the Spirit of God to the world. We have spent a number of hours on the ministry of the Spirit of God to the believer. I think it would be well for us to consider also the ministry of the Spirit of God to the world. First of all, may I suggest that he is the one who is restraining evil in the world today. That I'm taking the world now as a whole. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, I read these words. And now you know what withholdeth that he's talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin, might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That which holds back the forces of evil in the world would be the Spirit of God, and I take it today, working through his people. You remember our Lord spoke of the fact in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, when he said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted?" See, salt is a preservative thing. And in a certain sense, God's children in the earth hold back the forces of evil. Or the Spirit of God holds back the manifestation of the man of sin through the church. Now, there are those who believe that it's the Spirit of God that does it. There are those who believe it's the church that does it. I personally believe it's the Spirit of God in and through the church, holding back the forces of evil. In fact, I would say this, that this world would be an unfit place to live in if the church was taken away. The heart of man, remember, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And until God's purpose for the church is done, the Spirit of God in the church will hold back the manifestation, not only of the man of sin, but of the forces of evil. For example, some years ago, I was ministering the Word of God in the city of Tacoma, Washington. And a dear man who was one of the judges of Tacoma, a very godly man, was the superintendent of a little Sunday school in one of the sections of that city. The time came when he felt he should give it up, that they should close their doors. And to his utter astonishment, some of the neighbors around this little Sunday school and chapel came to him and said, "You can't take away this Sunday school." Now these people were not Christians. In fact, they opposed the gospel. They boasted about their atheism and their infidelity. And he said to them, "What did it to you if we remove the Sunday school? You manifested no interest in it. You refuse to send your children to Sunday school. Why should you be perturbed if we take away the Sunday school?" And to his astonishment, they said, "If you remove the Sunday school from this area, we will have to move out of the area to some other place where there is a Sunday school." He said, "I don't understand you, because you refuse to have your children go to Sunday school. You oppose it." "Yes, we oppose the doctrine. We're not Christians. We don't believe in Christianity. We don't believe in Jesus. But we do not want our children to be raised in a section of this city where there's no Sunday school. even though we don't believe in Christianity, it does have a tremendous effect upon the neighborhood and upon our families and children. And this dear judge came to me and asked me if I would help him out in their Sunday school and in their church and have a morning meeting, which I was glad to do. I could work it in. Had a wonderful time. In fact, we had the joy of seeing quite a number of young people come to know the Savior. But I was amazed at this, that these ungodly, atheistic infidels did not want to raise their families in an area where there was no Sunday school. The Spirit of God through these people holding back the forces of evil. Well, I'm sure most of you men, if I can talk to you men or you women working in a plant or in an office, I know before I became a Christian, I would sit on the bench in the machine shop, eat my lunch, and the fellows would tell unmentionable stories and so on. I thought nothing of it at the time with their cursing and bitterness. But when I became a Christian and gave my testimony, and the men in the part of the plant where I was working knew what had taken place because I had told them. When I brought my little lunch bucket and came to sit on the bench with them, there was absolute silence. All their talking ceased. And I'm sure that they would. In fact, I got to the place where I didn't sit with them because I knew I was just a hindrance to them. It's an amazing thing. Without saying a word, people are hindered from doing the thing they want to do because of the influence of Christians, especially those who seek to walk with God and give a testimony for God. So I say the first thing then, the Spirit of God is the restrainer of evil. Now the second thing about the Spirit of God on the world, the Spirit of God convicts the world. In John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, you remember our Lord, in speaking of the coming of the Spirit of God, spoke of the fact, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove, convict the world of sin. Or if I might read the preceding verse, when Jesus said, it is expedient for you, he's talking to his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. May I remind you that before the flood, way back in the book of Genesis, in the first six chapters, you have where the Spirit of God brooded in the first chapter over the deep, and the Spirit of God was the, if I can use the word, was the instrument used for creation. Spirit of God brooded over the earth. Now, when you come to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, this is before the flood, I read these words in verse 3, where God says, my spirit will not always strive with man, for his day shall be 120 years. Now the condition of the world was such that the thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man was evil continually. It was the earth, as the chapter says, the earth was filled with violence. The world was corrupt. And God gave them time to repent of their sin. Possibly 120 years. You find that in 1 Peter chapter 3. But they preferred their sin to grace. They preferred death to life. They preferred self-will to God's will. Now remember, this is before the flood. You remember our Lord said, and if I might say this, our Lord said in the book of Matthew 24, that before his return to the earth, men on earth would follow the same pattern as they were in Noah's day. And three things characterized Noah's day. First of all, they were loose in their living. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were loose in their relationships, the one to the other. Or, if you might call it, using a word today, a permissive society. To be married and then divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced on any ground whatever. They had a loose society. Permissiveness was the order of the day. This is what our Lord is saying about Noah's day. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with marriage, by the way. It's a divine institution. But marrying and giving in marriage. Looseness in morals. Secondly, they were eating and drinking. What's wrong with that? Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Except it manifested a total indifference to God. Like today in America, we think more of eating and drinking than we think about the Lord Himself. In fact, I would say today we're becoming not only an affluent society, but we become fat, we become indolent, we think nothing else but eating and drinking. Indifference to God. I say there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. I think all of us like to do that. Now, when I say drinking, I'm not talking about liquor. I don't know what they drank in that day. It wasn't mentioned. I'm pretty sure there was a lot of alcohol because I read right after the flood that Noah got drunk. Where did you learn that? Well, that was what they were doing before the flood. Taking the fruit of the vine, it was fermenting, and they were getting drunk. Eating and drinking, but the fact was they were indifferent to God. And the third thing was they were ignorant of a coming judgment. They were ignorant of the purpose of God. My friend, that's true today. That's true today. People today don't believe in a coming judgment. They don't believe that Jesus is going to return to the earth as a judge. They don't believe in this thing. And yet the Bible is so clear. You remember Revelation 1:18, where we read these words, and our Lord is speaking because He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the El Shaddai. He says, behold, the Lord cometh, and every eye shall see Him, and they also who pierced Him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Not rejoice, but wail. Why? Because when He comes, it's going to be a time of terrific judgment. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And in Noah's day, the Spirit of God dealt with them. In fact, I read with respect to this man Noah in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We had the Spirit of God preaching through Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, while the ark was preparing, in 1 Peter chapter 3, 18 to 20, while the ark was preparing, he preached a coming judgment. They laughed him to scorn. And do you know how many converts he had? Think of a man preaching by the Spirit of God for 120 years, as long as he was preparing the ark. The only ones who were saved from the destruction, from the judgment, were him and his wife and his children. Nobody accepted the ministry of the Word of God. Can it be that in this day, after having had the Word of God for 1900 years, that there are people in your city, in your town, in your neighborhood, who are going to be here when the Lord returns to the earth, and they're going to face a righteous, eternal God? And they've refused the testimony of God by His Spirit through these people, the church, or through His own children? Spirit of God before the flood. The patience of God before the flood. Noah a preacher of righteousness before the blood, the flood? And by the which I read, he condemned the world, as you have in Hebrews chapter 11. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He rebuked the world. Here's a man building an ark on dry ground. The thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man was evil continually. And yet God would not let them go without pleading with them for 120 years. The Spirit of God, through Noah, preached to that generation. And the whole generation, except Noah and his family, were destroyed. The wrath of God upon them. My friend, the Spirit of God for 1900 years has been pleading with this generation. And yet we will not learn from history. If you take your Bibles, you'll notice when the cup of iniquity is filled full, the wrath of God always falls. I must tell you this. In Genesis 6, the thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man was evil continually, and God says he repented that he had made man, and he found Noah, the only man perfect in his generation, the only one who was not mixed up in the moral corruption of the day, the infidelity of the day. Now, it doesn't say they were idolaters. They were living for self. It was an immoral, corrupt, indifferent, cold, godless generation. And God found one man, and only one man and his family was saved. God sent Israel into the land of Palestine. What for? To cut out the Amorite nation, which was immoral and corrupt and idolatrous and diseased. Their cup was filled full. And God took the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, and put them in Egypt out of the way. And then prepared the deliverer, Moses, and led them out. For what purpose? To cut out the moral cancer among the nations. Even Israel itself, smitten with a cancer, when the cup of iniquity is filled full. If I remind you of that passage in Isaiah 28 again, they said, we've made a covenant with death, with hell we are in agreement. Lies are our refuge. There's nothing left but judgment. That's why God said to Jeremiah 100 years afterwards, don't you pray for them, I won't listen to you. Judgment. In 70 AD, the cup of iniquity was filled full again. And as 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, Paul says, they killed the Lord Jesus. They tried to stop us preaching the gospel to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their cup always, for the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost. Though he dealt with them with signs and wonders and miracles through the disciples, he would speak to them in other languages. Still they wouldn't listen, and they were scattered over the face of the earth. Now, the cup of iniquity is filling full again. And in this blessed land of ours, and I've got to say this, there are leaders in our land today who want to legalize the very sins which caused the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the 18th and 19th chapters of Genesis, the cup of iniquity in Sodom and Gomorrah was filled full, and the city was destroyed. The only man delivered was Lot and his two daughters. I tell you, I say it with all the tenderness and all the compassion in my heart. My friend, the world is filling up with its iniquity today. And just as sure as the wrath of God came upon past generations because of their sin, the wrath of God's going to come upon this generation, even America. We have turned our backs on God. We have become indifferent to the claims of the Son of God. And now we want to legalize the very sins against which the wrath of God is going to be poured out. Oh, listen, Christian, please pray for our country. And pray the Spirit of God will continue His work while it is yet called today, that men and women might be saved. We'll continue this in our next lesson, the ministry of the Spirit of God to the world.